God's been preparing David for a new role. So let's look tonight, if you will, and we'll talk about this and get into chapter number 17. Now, I'm going to split chapter 17 up just a little bit for us because I think it is so full of a couple of different things, so full of information and study. So the first thing I want us to do in this study is look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. And what we're going to do is go to the study on facing your giants. Now, all of us have some giant things that come in our lives sometimes. And I will say this, for many of us, something may seem like a giant to us that doesn't seem like a giant to someone else. You know, there are some big things that you and I feel like we face and somebody else in the distance from you, they'll look at that and they'll say, you know, what are they so worried about? What's that? That shouldn't be such a big deal as they're making it. But can I tell you, and I think I've told you this before, it's really big deal when you're the one that's facing it. Now, sometimes when it's somebody else, you can look at it, and it seems minimal, it seems small, it seems like, boy, that's no hill to climb. But when it's you, many times it's magnified. It's multiplied. I mean, it is enormous when it's there before you. So that's what I want you to look with me tonight, if you will, here in chapter number 17. Let's look at the beginning of what we all know is the fight between David and Goliath. So beginning in verse number 1, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to a place called Shochoh, which belonged to Judah, and peace between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 spans and a cubit. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for your love and mercy and grace and goodness on us. Thank you for the songs and for the testimonies. Thank you for Brother and Sister Farley being here with us tonight and the good report that they have given us of their work. And I pray God continue to bless those labors and encourage them. Help us just to be found all being servants of you. And Lord, we'll thank you for that tonight. And I pray again, burden our hearts for the lost. Help us to see folks that need Christ and that need the solid foundation and the sure things of the Word of God. And again, we'll just give you praise for all that you do. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As I said, let's look at this and let's talk about facing your giants. Now, we talked about David. And as I say, we all know that story. We'll get to it later. But tonight, I want us to think on that idea of facing your giants, of facing your giants. Now, you know, as I say, giants they're going to come in your life. They're going to be there. I mean, some things that you're going to battle and they're going to seem like, man, I am just feeling like David when he fought Goliath, when you face what you've got to face sometimes. It's difficult. And
I don't want to ever downplay that. As I say, sometimes we look at somebody else and we say, boy, what are they all worried about? That's not a big deal. But it is to them. And because of that, you and I ought to realize the value and the worth of praying for each other. Because, hey, there are giants and there are battles that we've got to fight. So let's just concentrate on that and be aware of that tonight, that there are those things in everybody's life that they're going to face. So you see the story here, and I think we can kind of draw from this story just a few things that I want us to look at tonight as we learn to face some giants. First of all, let's just say that when we're facing giants, well, giants are, first of all, endlessly coming on to fight against us. It just seems like, man, there's one thing after another and another and another. In other words, in your Christian life, there's always going to be a fight. You know, sometimes we think like, well, okay, I've come through this and, man, I shouldn't ever have to battle another spiritual battle for the rest of my life. But that's not so. That's not so. I mean, we think that, and we even feel like that would be fair. But can I tell you, in the Christian life and in the Christian battle, if you'll go back and look, and especially read in the things that that Paul writes to us, he writes over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, he tells us to put on the whole armor of God because, hey, you're going to be in a fight. And you're going to be in a fight, and it's going to seem like it's just endlessly coming on day after day after day and time after time after time. Your fight in this battle will never be done until the Lord calls you home. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. You might as well just make your mind up. We're going to have endless fight. Okay, let's just notice this. First of all, let's say that we know that the giants, they're coming endlessly to fight against us, and that it seems like that they are always looming. They're always there on the horizon. Now here, as you study this and you understand the story, here Saul has been the king of Israel for some period of time. But I want you to notice this, if you will. Look back in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 14. And this is after some of the initial things happened in the life and the kingship of Saul. But I want you to notice what it says there in the very last verse of chapter number 14, verse 52. It says, "And there was sore war against the Philistines all the day of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him." What I want you to notice is what it says there. "And there was sore war." That means severe. That means strong. That means, you know, a continual battle against the Philistines all the days of Saul. Can I tell you, every day you're around, as long as you're around, there's going to be a battle against the giants. There's going to be giants facing you. There's going to be battles facing you. There's going to be a war on your spiritual living. It's going to be, it's always looming. I mean, I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm not trying to bring you to a place of depression. I'm just telling you, be aware, hey, these things are always going to be around. There's always going to be battles to be fought. I mean, here it is. It says in chapter 17 and verse number 1, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle." I mean, here they go. They're loading up. Well, what brought this on, preacher? It didn't have to be anything to bring it on. They just decided we're going to bring it on. I'm just telling you, sometimes sometimes we get the idea in our mind, well, what did I do wrong to get me involved in this place in my life where I'm in this battle? You don't have to do anything. I mean, there's nothing. You know, a lot of folks are going to look for a reason, just like Job's friends did. Job's friends came to him and said, "Job, surely you've sinned. That's why all of these things are happening in your life. Surely you've got sin in your life." Now, sometimes that's true. But I'll tell you, a lot of times, there doesn't have to be any reason for you to be in the middle of a spiritual battle. It's just because the Philistines want to rise up and come up against you. And they will. And that's exactly what they did against the people of Israel. I mean, they're looking for an advantage. They're looking for a chance. They're looking for just an opportunity to come in and do something. And I'm telling you, sometimes those things happen to us. So you should have taken care of them earlier, maybe in your life in some way. But they're out there looming, just waiting for an opportunity, just waiting for a time, just waiting for something to happen, and then boom, there you are in the middle of that situation. So, first of all, realize those things are looming. Let me just tell you this. When these giants come, and they endlessly come, let me tell you, those giants are always lying. They're always lying to you about something. I mean, do you see this? Here comes Goliath, and I know Goliath is a man of war. I know Goliath is a big guy. We know all of that, right? But he comes out there, and I mean, he's got all of the swagger and all of the sayings and all of the stuff. I mean, you know what I think about Goliath? He's just a big bully. That's all you can say about him. He's just a big bully. Can I tell you, the devil wants to be a big bully in our life. The devil wants to come and just bully us around. He wants to tell you you're nothing. He wants to tell you you can't. He wants to tell you what you're thinking is wrong. Isn't that what the serpent did to Eve in the garden? Did God say, oh, well, let's bring a little question. Let's bring a little doubt. Let's bring a little confusion into the situation. You know what Jesus said about the devil himself? Jesus said, well, he told the Pharisees and that crowd that was around him that day, he said, ye are of your father, the devil. He said, and he's a liar, and he's the father of lies. So can I tell you, when the giants come facing me and you, when they come fighting against us, aren't you though? They may be out there looming. But I'll tell you, when you begin to hear what they got to say, can I tell you, they're lying. Now you say, well, preacher, what makes you say that? Well, do you know what Goliath says here? Goliath says, okay, if one of your guys will come fight me, we'll get this thing over with. We'll fight the old one-on-one, the man-to-man combat. And he said, and if I win, you guys will be servants to us. And if you win, then we'll all be servants to you. Can I tell you, that's a lie. I mean, the giants will say, okay, if you can whoop me, then, hey, that's it. You won't have problems out of me anymore. I don't think so. As I said, the Bible said as long as Saul was king, they were there and they came back and they were again and again and again and again. What do you say? I'm saying it'll lie to you. It'll try to tell you, oh yeah, boy, if you ever get out of this, you'll have it whooped. But, you know, I want to tell you, they're lying. Because if you go on and read the story, and like I say, we will. Next week we'll talk about it. When the people here from the Philistines, when they get on the run, you know what they do? They don't lay their arms down and say, okay, we give up, we lose, and we're your servants. No, they don't do it. They take off running, and then they try to fight. They try to get back to their home ground, and they try to win the battle from there, or they try to evade the battle. They try to get back and as they say, live to fight another day. Hey, why is that? Because, I'm telling you, Goliath was a liar. He wasn't telling the truth. And I'm telling you, your giants are never telling you the truth. They're lying to you. Whatever your giant is saying to you, you can't. You'll never. It won't work out. It's not worth it. I mean, whatever that giant is telling you, let me assure you, he is lying. He's not telling you the truth. He's trying to trick you. He's trying to get you all tore up. He's trying to just bully you like the devil does, okay? That's what your giant's going to do. Those giants are looming. Those giants are lying. Let me tell you this, those giants are looting. Do you know what Jesus said about your enemy? He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Can I tell you, when you get to looking at these giants, you know what they want to do? All they want to do is loot some stuff out of your life. They want to rob your peace. They want to rob your joy. They want to rob your standing. They want to rob your fellowship. They want to rob your worship. They want to rob everything they can from you because they know if we can just get them shook up, if we can just get him all messed up, if we can get him thinking there, we'll have him down. And you know what? It seems to work, doesn't it? Do you notice the very last verse that we read there? It says, verse number 11, after Goliath has come out and challenged everybody, said everything, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. He's lying to them. And then he's looting. He's taking everything away from them. They haven't fought a bit in the battle. There hasn't been a clash between the armies. Nothing has happened. And now, you know what they're doing? They're buying into the story. They're buying into the story. And it's robbing them. Can you imagine? Here is the army of Israel. Now, let's kind of get this in perspective and think about this. When you think about just historically here, Israel did not have what you and I have today in the United States, right? In the United States, we have a paid military group. You join the army. You're trained. You are equipped. You are taken care of. You are transported. You know, all these things that they do with the military. Okay, that makes sense. Well, they didn't do that in that day. If you go on and read the story, and as we do read it, you'll notice that Jesse, David's daddy, sends his son. He said, I want you to go out there and see how the battle is going. And you know why? He wanted to check up on his boys. His boys had been missing. The older brothers are out there in the battle, and they've been missing from the farm. Jesse's missing some of his farm hands. The work's not getting done, and he wants to know what's going on and how it's going on and maybe even how long it's going to be before they'll be able to get back. Because, see, they don't have a organized type army. They're calling for volunteers. You saw what I just read there a few minutes ago that said that Saul, whenever he saw a man that was valiant or mighty, that he took him into his army, if you will. He got that man and got him into his army. So here's a group of men, not regular soldiers, not military minded, not necessarily super militarily trained, but here they are, just a bunch of guys, and they're out there and they see a bunch of warlike people. And if you remember, Saul tells David, he said, you know, Goliath, he's a man. He said, you're just a youth. He's a man of war from his youth. He's been doing this a long time. He's a man that's battle ready. He's a man that's battle hardened. He's a man that's used to this kind of stuff. And we're not, is what he's saying in so many words. Can I tell you, sometimes we're like that. I mean, the devil's been around pulling this stuff for a little while. And you know what? Me and you, sometimes we get into it, and this is our first fight with this giant, our first battle with this situation, our first time having to get a look at things in this perspective. And it's like, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he'll be there looming, lurking in the dark spots. He'll be there lying to you. He'll be there looting, stealing everything that he can from you. So first of all, realize that your giants, the giants you're going to face, they are endlessly coming to fight against us. So second of all, let's notice this, that the giants that you're going to go up against, they are enormous concerns to face. As I say, you might think that you're looking at somebody else's situation and it doesn't seem too bad to them. It's enormous when you're facing it, okay? If it's coming up against you, hey, it seems so big and it seems so bad. Let's look at this giant, if you will, when we talk about being enormous to face. First of all, this pertains to the idea of size. Okay? Size. Did you read this with me? It says in verse number 4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, if we take the standard thinking of what a cubit and a span is, And it may be more, maybe less. We don't know exactly. But we're somewhere in the range of a fella that's 9 feet 9 inches tall. That's a pretty good sized boy, ain't it? Like old fella out there on Sand Mountain says, I bet he's got $100 a week grocery bill. Amen. I bet he does. He's a big old fella. I mean, here's a man, and I mean, listen, generally the Jewish people are not very tall. Okay? I went over and I felt pretty good. We went over in Israel walking around. I thought, I'm as big as these folks are. There ain't nobody going to have to look down on me. I can look them eye to eye. I mean, they're just not generally tall folks. Let's say 6 feet tall. Hey, that means there's somebody there that's 3 feet taller than you. As a matter of fact, 3.5 feet or more taller than you. And that's an imposing figure when you're out there doing battle. I mean, the size has something to do. If you remember when Moses has sent out the spies, and they're spying out the land. They come back, and they've got the grapes, and they've got their report and all that. Remember what it said? That there was 10 of them that said, we can't take the land. And, of course, Joshua and Caleb said, oh, yeah, we can do it. But those 10 said, for we were as grasshoppers in their sight. They are giants. That's the way they saw them, and they saw themselves. And no doubt you go out and at the size of your giant, I mean, he looked pretty big, can't he? 9 feet 9 inches tall. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever been around any tall folks, but we've got a few of them that come here to church every morning. Some of these younger guys, and buddy, when they have to duck to come in the doorway there, that gets my attention. And you know what that is? That's somebody that may be 6'4", 6'5", something like that. That's a tall person. All right, to me, I had about 3 more feet on to that. And think about how tall that he was. But don't just look at his height, his stature, his size. Look at this. Let's talk about his strength. Your giants sometimes have an enormity of strength. Listen to what it describes here for this Goliath. It says he had a helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. And a weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Now, according to who you want to talk to, how they estimate that, that is somewhere between 125 and 200 pounds. That's what he put around his shoulders, covered his chest and his waist. That was the outward coat of mail that Goliath wore. I mean, could you imagine? Look, y'all, I mean, told y'all, I go back to the gym and I play with them little plug-in weights and I'll plug in that top one that's, you know, 25 pounds and I'm a-sweating and pushing it in, right? Pull it on down there at about 100 and something and we're over. We're through. I'm done. Could you imagine running around with an extra 125, 150, whatever this is, pounds covering you? And then you got a helmet of brass, no telling how much that weighs. That's the headset that you've got on that has a weight attached to it. We're not told, but we're sure it's pretty. The whole thing, man, could you imagine? I know I feel sorry for some of our police officers. They wear those jackets now that are, you know, for bulletproof, for protection. They wear those, and them poor guys sweat to death, and they're out there huffing and puffing, running around with them things on. Can you imagine? These guys, 125 pounds. I mean, it takes some strength to do that. Not only that, listen to what else it says. It said he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. I mean, he was decked out with brassware, with metalware over his entire, on his legs and his chest, and had on a coat of mail, a coat of armor. And then notice what it says. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Somebody has estimated that had to be at least 15 pounds. Imagine carrying a pole in your hand that is 15 pounds. Plus, it says, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. They said that's somewhere maybe in the area of at least 25 pounds. So you've got 40 pounds in your hand, 150 pound weights on your body, plus all the other stuff, and you're carrying this around. I'm telling you, this guy's strong. He's strong. There's absolute strength within him. And I mean, when you're looking at this, he is very, very powerful. I mean, he's got some strength. He's got some size. And he looks pretty bad and mean, doesn't he? What I'm saying is the things that you and I face sometimes, they seem so big and strong against us. And they are. I mean, the Bible tells us that we know. The Bible talks about how that we should be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's a wily character. He's a clever, intelligent, and he looks big, and he looks bad, and he looks ugly. And I'll give you this. The devil does have some strength. He has as much power as God will let him have in this life. Don't be fooled, and don't start thinking you're like the guys were over there in the book of Acts, that, you know, they decide they're going to go cast the devil out of a guy. And as they go, you know, they go and say, "We adjure thee by the name of Paul, by the name of Christ, whom Paul preaches, that you come out of this man." And that man rears up, the demons in him rears up, looks at him and says, "Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are y'all?" And they got a whooping and got run out of the house, right? There were seven of them, and they couldn't handle that one devil. So what I'm saying is, size and strength are there with your adversary. Not only that, the sound that comes from this is enormous. Do you hear this? He stood, in verse 8, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? What are you doing? Who do you think you are?" I mean, that's exactly how he's coming out, sounding big and bad and ugly. I mean, here he is. He's sounding, well, the sound that he gives is a frightening sound. As a matter of fact, we just read that again. It said that the Philistines, when they heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I'm telling you, it's a fearful thing sometimes. You ever get a lump in your throat and a fear knot hits you when you hear what maybe the doctor said? When you hear what they said at work, when, you know, you're facing a situation that you've never faced before, and all those things begin to bunch up, multiply, and head against you, and there's a sound there, and it just hits you. And that sound, man, it's scary when you hear some of those things that can be said by your giant. And these guys are scared to death. So your giant is certainly their enormous concerns to face. But thirdly, let's look at this. Your giants are enemies that want to crush your faith. This is the main purpose of everything that these giants are doing. They're there to crush your faith. First of all, they're there as aggravation. You ever get aggravated? I mean, when things really begin to come apart and you're facing something, you're worried about, you know, what's going on, and there is aggravation. I mean, just listen. Here he is. "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Look down at verse number 14, if you will. And it talks about how that, or excuse me, verse 16. "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days of this aggravation. Could you imagine? Every morning when they got up, it was the same thing. "We're going to crush you. I'm going to put you in the dirt. I'm going to be the man that will beat anybody you can bring. bring out. I mean, that's it. It's bragging. It's bravado. It's boasting. It's pride. It's all of those things. That brings an aggravation to us. Isn't it aggravating when you get up? Let me tell you, one of the biggest giants you ever have to face is this right here, your own mind. When things begin to go over in your head and you're thinking about how this is looking and how it's going and you're just tore up. I mean, you're just all of it. You don't know what to do. And you don't understand the situation. And you're just like, I'm trying to figure this out. Just, you know, it's almost like, hey, if I can just call a timeout and get off here. But there's no timeout. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. It keeps coming. 40 days. And, of course, we know 40 in the Bible is a number of testing. But here, 40 days. I mean, this just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. Every day, Goliath walks out there, and he's screaming, and he's yelling, send me somebody, I'll kill him. Boy, I mean, isn't that amazing at the aggravation that can cause? And, I mean, when you get up in the morning, and you're facing whatever you're facing, and you get up tomorrow and you're still facing it. It's not resolved. As a matter of fact, maybe it's gotten worse. And you get up the next day and it's still not cleared up. And you get up the next day and it's still there looking you in the eye. Hey, it brings a continual aggravation to your spiritual self. You can't worship. You feel like sometimes you can't pray. You feel like you can't do anything because of the situation you're in. You are just in a state of aggravation. You're frustrated. You're aggravated. You're upset. You just don't know what to do. I'm telling you, that's what the giants are going to do to you. And that's what this giant is doing to the children of Israel and to King Saul. Can you imagine? It just says, here they are. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight against. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I mean, they went out there every day, but there was nobody going down there. The idea of this, the way this is set up, there was it's called the Valley of Elah. And on one side of the valley, a little mountainous rise area, whatever, on the other side of the same little high place. And they're looking at each other, and Goliath would walk down into that valley and go to, they say there's another valley of some depth in the middle of this. There's another valley down it's like a riverbed that has washed out. And Goliath would kind of go to the edge of that and say, send me somebody down here to fight. And those men would stand there, but they didn't do nothing. It said their armies were in array. That means they were lined up, they were arranged, they were set as, you know, ready to go to war, but they never faced the enemy head on. They looked at him, and all they could do is swallow hard. All they could do is talk among themselves. Matter of fact, you remember what happens? When David comes up, the men are talking. And Saul has said, if somebody will go down there and fight him, here's what I'll do for him. His family will be free, and I'll give him a daughter's wife, and we'll make him rich, and blah, 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 blah. And they're all talking about it, but there ain't nobody doing it. You know why? Because they're scared. They are terrified. And if your giant, whatever you're facing, can do that to you, if he can terrify you, aggravate you, he's got you where he wants you. Not only is there aggravation, notice this secondly. There's opposition. Obviously, there's opposition. I mean, listen. He says in verse number 9, if you be able, then we'll be your. But if I prevail, then and you can kill us, then we'll be your servant. But he's just daring them. He's putting up that opposition. He's saying, come on, come on, come on. I mean, letting you know there's opposition there. Against you, the opposition. And not only is there opposition, all of this in turn brings confusion. Confusion, intimidation, all of it works together and it will crush your faith. Have you heard anybody yet speak up and say anything? Oh, Saul, I'm ready to go fight him. They're all standing over, kicking the dirt. They'll look at him. But they sure don't want to go over there. They'll talk among themselves. You going to go? I ain't going to go. You going? No, I ain't going. I mean, that's what they're doing. Boy, I sure would like to go fight. He's going to get me mad enough and I'm going to fight. Yeah, right. Right? I mean, isn't that the way that it is? But I'm telling you, it's intimidating. And it brings a spiritual confusion. When the devil can get you confused, addled, rattled, aggravated, agitated, when he can do that and crush your faith. Because isn't it marvelous? This whole story, you know, we like to hear people and they talk about underdogs and they talk about, you know, I've seen them in football and basketball and they say, oh, this is a David versus Goliath story. Well, not really. I mean, it may be somebody small against somebody big and that may be as far as that analogy goes. This is a story of faith. This is not a story about the big guy and the little guy. This is not a story of pulling for the under. That's not the story. The story is, where does anybody in the whole nation of Israel have their faith? And if we go on, when we go on, we'll look at it. And David said, you're defying the armies of God. Not the armies of Israel. And that's what Goliath keeps coming and saying, I'll defy the armies of Israel. And David said, you're not fighting against Israel. You're fighting against God. And he's about to show you who's boss. And you know what it took? It took somebody with a measure. And it doesn't have to be a bushel or a basket or a truckload of faith. It just takes somebody with some faith in God that knows who they're fighting for and what they're fighting for. And that winds up being a little guy by the name of David. We'll look at that next time. But I just want you to take a little look tonight and let's look at our enemy. Let's look at our giants that we're facing. Because no doubt, some of you here are facing those things. As I say, this brought confusion. It brought fear. It brought dread. It brought doubt. It brought just frightening things. And listen, if you'll notice, as I said right here, there's nobody to give an answer and nobody took action. Saul's standing there. Saul's a king. Remember Saul? You remember what the Bible says about Saul when he selected his king? He stood head and shoulders above all the rest of the men of Israel. But yet, he's fearful himself and he won't step into battle. And I think one reason, he knows that God's gone from him. And he'd be in trouble if he goes out to fight Goliath. He'd need, you know what David's got on him? The Bible said the Spirit of God came on David from that day of his anointing by Samuel. From that day forward, you better have something that God's give you. If you're going to fight against these giants, you better have it. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing a verse of a song, if you would. Let's sing something tonight. Maybe if you need to.